VIP Conduit presents Mars Stars. Welcome to the September 2025 edition. For this month, we welcome to the spotlight Vicky Stachnik from Canada.
Good evening, everybody. It is time for another edition of Mars Stars. I'm so glad to have you aboard. And I'm so glad for our person that has chosen at very short notice to be in the spotlight for this month, because our original interviewee was otherwise occupied. Our guest for this evening is Vicky from Canada. And Vicky, I'm hoping that you're able to do a lot of talking, because my voice is rather shabby right now. So I'm looking forward to hearing your story. I've certainly seen you in a lot of rooms, heard you sing, and heard you play some great country music along with us. So I get the idea that we definitely share the love for country music. So we'll get into that later. But we'll kind of try to go in chronological order here. So first of all, thanks so much for agreeing to do this at such short notice.
That's fine. Thank you. I did do an interview on Out of Sight with Susie, so I sort of had a practice run with her, so I should be okay.
Super. Well, Susie's a great interviewer. I'm just honored to have her in here with us today. And so we're going to just start at the very beginning. Have you always lived in Canada? And if so, what town were you born in?
I was born in Kingston, Ontario. I was born 3 months early. I only weighed 2 pounds and 10 ounces because I didn't get enough oxygen to my optic nerves. My parents had 3 other children, my brother and 2 other sisters, but none of them were visually impaired, only me. Lucky me. They didn't really have any idea till I was about 2 that I was vision impaired. My grandfather said, she's not looking at the TV like normal children. And they said, oh, you're crazy. And they wouldn't believe anything like that, because I could still run around the house, do everything that a normal child would do. So they finally got a CNIB person to come in. He was a field worker, they called him. And he went to people's houses and told the parents what to do for a blind child, and told them to send me up to Brantford, which is the school for the blind in Ontario. So when I was 6 years old, my mom had to take me to the train and put me on there for the first time at that age. And boy, that must have been very difficult. She, of course, sent me up there. I only came home Christmas, Easter, and the summer vacations for the first 8 years of my life of school. And then after that, I went to high school, and we came home every weekend on a bus. So it was a little bit easier. We got to know our own home communities a little better. So after I graduated high school, shortly after that, I decided a white cane was not for me. I was not figuring out how to use it very well. So I switched to a guide dog. At about 19, I went to Leader Dog in the States, because at that time they didn't have schools in Canada that would train guide dogs. So I had that dog for a while, and then I got a second one from Leader Dog. And then, I had a baby, and that kind of slowed guide dog things for a little while. I stayed home and didn't go out as much. Until my son was around 7, and I thought, well, you know, I think we can get a new dog. So the thing that made me get a dog was we were in the mall. He was guiding me okay, but he wanted to go to the toy department. I wanted to go to the drugstore or another store. And I said, listen, I'm supposed to be taking you. You're not supposed to take me. And I thought, well, I need to be independent so I can take him and he's not controlling where I'm going. So that kind of spirited me into the idea of getting a guide dog. And I had them up until just last week. I lost my special faithful guide dog. She was going to be 14 January 22nd. She just stopped eating, stopped drinking, and it was very quick. It was maybe 1-2 days, and she just went to sleep peacefully in my sister's apartment, who was looking after her for retirement. But I kind of skipped ahead too far. I got married at 20 years old, and then I had my son, and then later on I did a lot of training on computers for people who got new computers. I played a lot of sports. I was in curling, goalball, bowling. I was in a lot of clubs. There was a CNIB club and a Canadian Council of the Blind was just a group of blind people working together to have activities. We played cards and we did all kinds of activities and went out for dinners.
Wow, you covered a lot of ground there, girl. Well, I have retinopathy of prematurity as well. I weighed 2 pounds, 6 ounces when I was born, so very similar situation there. Did you ever have any vision?
No, I had no vision. But when I was little, okay, I'll tell you about the different toys I used to ask for. I had a big walking doll. My brother broke the leg off her, so that one didn't last too long. I had a Chatty Cathy, which you pull a string. Well, one of the kids pulled the string right out of her, so she no longer talked. But I also had, I said to my parents, well, all the other kids are getting coloring books and crayons, so I want some. And of course, now they make coloring books and crayons for adults. But I decided I wanted it. But then my brother and my sister said, you're not coloring in the lines. I said, well, you know, I just made shapes, like, say, a shape of a person. I thought that's how you colored. So my mother told them to leave me alone.
Boy, I'll tell you, we have some real similarities. I had a favorite doll. And when I was at school, somebody poked her eye out. And my aunt took her to the doll hospital. So we have a lot of similarities there. I liked to draw as well. And I remember getting this raised line drawing paper from the American Foundation. And I had more fun with that thing because I could feel what I was drawing. And it was really cool. I loved it. I think I might have been an artist had I been able to see, because I loved to draw. I like to play with clay as well. So you went to a school for the blind for your whole school career, correct?
Yes. And we had a really good music program. I was in triple trios at grade 4 and right up to grade 4, 5, and 6. And they were 3-part harmony, but 3 people in each part. And someone would just play the piano, or we would sing unaccompanied. We did, what's that song called? Edelweiss. And oh, wow, it sounded so beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet it did. Yeah, we had a great music program, too. Did you play any musical instruments?
I played the clarinet.
Well, that's neat. Were you in an orchestra?
Yeah, it had the drums, it had the strings, the brass, and the woodwind, and I think sometimes a piano or an organ would play with us too. And we did a lot of plays, and we would, you know, perform up on our stage and do like different acting things in school. It was a lot of fun.
Were you involved in sports in school?
Not as much. I wasn't as crazy about it till after I got out of school. And I played beach ball too, besides goalball and curling and bowling. That was a lot of fun.
Did you have a favorite subject in school?
I liked English and I liked math, believe it or not. I liked math. I liked solving the problems, X's and Y's and all that stuff. And when we did geometry, we had like a rubber mat and like a tracing wheel, and they drew lines on the paper like that to make your triangles and all that kind of stuff. And you had a compass. You stuck the compass in the middle and you traced it around the outside. You could make a circle.
Interesting. Did you have a favorite teacher?
Well, my grade four teacher. Every time she moved up a grade, we moved up a grade. So she stayed with us all the way from four, five, and six. And she was still around the school, seven and eight and all that. And she was working in the library in my high school year. So, and I met her a few times when I went back to our reunions. Her name was Miss Sinden, and she was from England.
Oh, neat. I'll bet she had a delightful accent, too. Were you involved in any, because you were saying that you had other siblings, were you involved with any of your neighborhood friends? I know, like for myself, we lived way out in the country, and I was an only child, so I really didn't have too many school or too many local friends until I started staying with some people that lived in town, and then I had friends that would come over and do things with me. But, you know, when you're gone away to school like that, you don't really interact with your home neighborhood that much.
In the summer, a little bit, but I found my mom would always say, go and take your sister with you, and I didn't like that. I don't want them to take me because they have to.
Were your siblings resentful of that, or?
I'll tell you what they were really resentful of. In the fall, I had a great big trunk. My parents had to buy all my year of clothing all at once. And, you know, boots, winter coat, you know, everything from every season, and put it in that trunk. But my siblings, they only got, you know, maybe one, two outfits each season. So they didn't get theirs all at once like I did. So they thought I was getting more than they were, but when actually I wasn't. But it just looked like it to them because they were young and, you know, just didn't understand.
Yeah, I can imagine that would have been hard for them to figure out. So you had to travel to school by yourself. How far away from the school were you?
It was 5 or 6 hours by train. And the worst part was we had to switch in Toronto. So the one night I was coming back from Brantford and I was in Toronto, they forgot to put me on the next train. So I wasn't scared at all. They put me in the office. I was drinking milk and eating cookies till my mom and dad could drive from Kingston back to Toronto to pick me up. Middle of the night. I was having a ball.
Oh my gosh. That's a fun story. I think you're not as scared when you're a kid necessarily. Did you do any other singing besides your choral groups?
Oh, I started when I was probably 3 or 4 years old. My grandparents had a jukebox and they had this nice man from the States come in every once in a while, and I happened to be there when he was, and I was singing along with the jukebox. He called me over and he gave me $10 and he said, sing that song you were singing, Patches. So I sang it for him. And then the next time he came back, he gave me a record player. So like, he was amazing. And every year he sent me $10.
Oh, how neat is that? That's a great story also. Were you ever in a band or anything like that?
The closest I came to that was on Saturday afternoons, they had a matinee over at the, it's called the Iron Horse. It was a bar. And they had the band and people would get up and sing with the band. And then at the end of the afternoon, they would give a $15 coupon to the one they figured was the winner of that day. So sometimes it would be me, sometimes it would be another lady. So I got a lot of free drinks out of there.
That's pretty fun. So your son, is that your only child?
Yes, and I have two grandkids. And they go up to the school now where I went. And my son went up there too. So they're all visually impaired too.
Oh, they are. That is interesting because your blindness had nothing to do with anything hereditary. So did they give you any reason for why your son and your grandkids are visually impaired?
I didn't have to ask them because my late husband was visually impaired too, and his dad was visually impaired, and his uncle was visually impaired, and two sisters were partially. But I didn't even know all this when I married him. I didn't even know his family or anything, and I didn't know anything about genealogy and that stuff.
Okay, so it was definitely a genetic thing on his side. How long has he been gone?
He was 54 when he passed away, and I was 50. So about almost 20 years pretty soon.
Wow. So are you, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but are you telling me that you're almost 70 years old?
Not quite, 68. Actually, Kevin and I are exactly 15 days apart. He's in January 3rd and I'm January 21st.
Wow, that is pretty cool. You don't sound like you're 68. You have such a young, perky sounding voice. So what are your current interests?
A big one, music. That's how Kevin and I met. I was on Out of Sight listening to a song that he had just from Freddie Hart's brother. And he sang the song. And I said, wow, I'd love to do harmony on that song. Cause it sounds, and that's that song we play sometimes for everybody on stage and center stage. But then Kevin had, he has not only helped me with my music, but we've done a bunch of duets together. We've been having a lot of fun with that. And we even went in the auction last year of Out of Sight and put in a couple songs there. And then I joined VIP2.
So did you join VIP through Kevin or did someone else lasso you in?
No, it was Kevin. He said, come to center stage. They want you to sing there. So I went there and I've always been curious what, a, you know, what that site was like compared to the other one. But the big thing was the music. Everyone kept telling me on Out of Sight, all I was using for my music was a ghetto blaster and my microphone and headphone. So, you know, it didn't quite sound as professional as it does now. But I had fun doing those ones too. And I did do some cassettes with my music with some friends playing guitars.
Are you planning on obtaining another guide dog?
No, that was too much. It's too hard when they pass away.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I had one, and she was only, well, she wasn't even 10 years old when she got spleen cancer. They said it was best to put her down, and that was tough. She, I kept thinking I heard her in her bed after she was gone. Well, this is kind of short. You covered a lot of ground in your first thing there. So I can't really think of anything that we haven't covered. Do you see your family much?
Oh, my family. My mom and dad are gone, but my brother and my two sisters live right here in Kingston. And we play cards every Friday night. We play Romoli and we win the nickels back and forth until, until our bucket's empty and then we buy more. But,
Well, that's neat and neat that you still have a strong relationship with them. Any other comments that you would like to present before we open it up for questions from the floor?
The one thing is, at first, the first website I went to was for the people, and I used to play their five-card poker, and I did join a contest they had on there, American Idol, and I was in the top whatever of that, when they had that. I had to audition and everything. It was kind of fun.
Wow. I didn't realize you were on For the People. I don't remember seeing you over there. I used to do my radio show over there, too. But I think I probably, by the time I stopped doing my radio show, I wasn't really going over there that much. Well, again, I'd like to thank you for volunteering so quickly. I'd like to open it up now for questions that people might have. Remember our protocol always, when you ask a question, wait till Vicki has answered before another person asks a question so we don't lose track of where we are. So let's open it up for questions.
I don't really have a question. I just wanted to give my condolences about your guide dog. It's been 3 years for me since I lost. She wasn't a guide dog. She was the first dog I raised pretty much on my own. And that was hard. And I feel you about not wanting another dog. I personally did not for a long time. Even when I got the two I have now, I really did not want another dog. But my condolences to you. That's, yeah, it's rough losing them either way.
Thank you.
I have a comment.
Go ahead, Mr. Russell.
Yeah, you mentioned that you were interested in drawing, and Mar, you mentioned that you also used to make things out of clay, or I don't know how to what extent you did that, but that's it's something, at least, that I have not heard much about other people who are blind doing, and I don't think that I never went to a school for the blind, but it doesn't seem like that really gets addressed a lot. I've done a lot of sculpting myself with clay, and in fact, I've kind of made a pseudo career of it. But I find that very interesting, and I've done some drawing too. Not much recently, but I have in the past, as well as other artistic things.
Well, the thing about art, if it's tactile too, then at least we can enjoy it that way. I made a little dog. I made a couple of candy dishes. I'm not sure what else I made, but...
My aunt was a ceramics and china painting teacher, so she taught me a lot about working with clay. She taught me how to make roses out of clay. I have just always been interested. I made a scene for a class one time. I made it out of Play-Doh, and it was really fun.
So we certainly don't want to have this interview and let Kevin get out of any questions, too. I know you said you met him on Out of Sight, and... When did he first come to Canada?
April 6, 2024. And then I went to Alabama in July.
How long have you guys been together?
Almost a year and a half.
You kind of laughed when Mar asked you, did you ever play any musical instruments? And you said played clarinet. Did you not enjoy playing the clarinet?
It was all right, but then later on, somebody gave me a 12-string guitar, and then I eventually got a Yamaha guitar. I don't play a lot, but I just play only just for myself. But we're going to practice on that, see if we can work up a couple of songs to play.
Okay, good.
I admire you playing guitar. I never could figure out guitar. I have a guitar, but I don't know. I get a chord sounding good, and then I want to get another chord sounding good, and I can't remember how I got from there to here.
Yeah, you went to the same school for the blind that Barry and Jeff went to. I just was wondering. I know when they were there, they did a lot of sports with the Batavia School here in New York State. I can remember when they used to come here and our school would go there. Did they do that when you were there?
They did that, but they also did choirs going back and forth and singing, like from one school to the other.
Yeah, they did choir, they did, I think, the orchestra, and I think they did a lot of track and wrestling, too.
Yeah, I was a cheerleader.
Oh, that's cool.
So how many schools for the blind are there in Canada?
Two. I'm pretty sure it's just two.
Is that one on one side of the country and one on the other side?
Yeah, there's one in Halifax, I think, and then... the one in Ontario where she went.
Aren't there any in the western provinces?
No, they usually went to the other two schools, I guess.
Wow, so they had a lot further to go than you did.
I remember Barry talking about that, you know, that they had to get on that long train ride.
I was lucky. Our train ride was only 100 miles, so it wasn't too bad. When I was real young, I used to take the train. When I was 5, 6 years old, and when I got older, I usually took either Greyhound or Crayway buses. So it wasn't too bad. But we were the same way. When we first started school, they would only let us come home for holidays and stuff. And I guess they wanted us to actually get used to being away from school. Then later on, we were able to come home on weekends.
Well, I don't know if your school was like ours, but... For many years, the house parents actually lived on campus, and they had these little apartments that were part of the dorms, and they'd live on campus for, they'd have like 2.5 days on and 2.5 days off, and then they'd switch. And another person would come and live. And later on, they went to that three 8-hour shifts type schedule. And then, you know, the one house parent worked from 7 to 3, one worked from 3 to 11, and then the night person worked from 11 to 7, and they didn't live on campus anymore. And they actually changed those apartments into what they called living skills apartments. And the students could actually live in the apartment for a month and feel what that was like. Did you have anything like that there?
Ours did. We had apartments for the health parents, but I'm going to shut up because it's Vickety's interview, not mine.
Yeah, we had apartments that the kids could live in, and we also had the residences there.
Did you have dormitories or cottages at your school?
We had dormitories, but they've rebuilt the whole school now, and they have little, what they call pods, and it's an open concept. And all the rooms where my grandkids are now, we got thoroughly lost last time we went there.
It's neat to know that your school is still functioning well. I know ours is, you know, they've mainstreamed most of the regularly functioning students. So a lot of the students that are at our school now are the multiply handicapped ones.
Well, one of my grandkids is a little bit slow, so he kind of needed a special program. But the other one, I think he should go through okay. But the one that has a special program, he's got a special ed outdoor program. He had it last year, and he's having it this year, where they go hiking and all these different programs. I know I'm getting off topic, but I thought it was pretty cool. And another thing, at Lake Joe right now, which is the camp they have for the blind here in Ontario, they're going to build a goalball facility right on the campgrounds.
So what exactly is goalball?
Okay, the ball is a big, like a basketball-sized ball, and it has bells inside it. Each team has 3 players, but all of them wear blindfolds, whether you have vision or not, because they want to make sure that, you know, someone's saying they're not blind and they are, or whatever, the other way around. So you have the person at the front is the center and 2 wingmen. So you have to roll that ball and try to get it over to the other end of the gym to get to the other person's goalie, the other end goalie.
So does the ball stay on the floor, or do you throw it, or what?
No, you have to leave it on the floor or a few inches off the floor, but not too high, because you'll get a penalty. And then you have to defend your team against the other whole team. And it's a very fast game. It's 7 minutes long for each half, but it goes quickly.
I've heard of it, but I never knew exactly what it was. So thanks for describing it. Any other questions? Again, Vicki, I'd like to thank you so much for agreeing to come. We just were in a chat room, and she agreed to be in the spotlight, and you definitely saved my bacon, so I appreciate it very, very much. And I hope that we've all learned a lot more about our friend Vicki. Very interesting person, and thank you for being so open with sharing your life with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate that you considered me as part of the program.
And I think Kevin's a pretty lucky guy.
That is definite.
Okay, and in November, if everything works out, we are going to interview Donnie Parrott. He's one of our newer members, and people have told me that he's quite fascinating. So I know very little about him, so it will be very interesting to get to know him. And so until then, everybody have a fantastic fall. Yes, we are into fall now. And we will see you on the fourth Tuesday of November.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.